Hello, and welcome to Acts of Kitchen, a podcast about food and cooking stories. My name's Alex, and this fortnight I'm interviewing, well, it's another member of my family, actually. I promise this won't be the case every episode, although quite a few members of my family do have interesting stories to share, so you are going to meet more of them. Anyway, on this episode, I'm talking to my beloved Auntie Rena, asking her about what it's like to cook for shearers. But before I get to that, let me tell you what I've been doing in the kitchen. So I've been really lucky and received two cookbooks recently for review, only one of which I can share with you at the moment, so you're just going to have to listen in July to hear about the other one. The one I can tell you about is called The Saffron Tales. It's by Yasmin Khan and it's published by Bloomsbury, and it's Iranian or Persian recipes. It's a gorgeous book with a lovely cover, and it's laid out beautifully too. And yes, these things sometimes really are important. I've only cooked a couple of things from it so far. This afternoon, I made sour cherry and chocolate biscuits, except I cannot for the life of me find sour cherries, nor could I find dried cherries, so I used dried blueberries. This was, of course, not the same taste, but, well, I did eat one before baking it, so that tells you something about what the mixture tasted like. The other thing I've made is oven-baked falafels, and they were excellent. I'm going to do a proper review on my blog in the next week or so, when I've cooked a few more things, but so far this is looking like a winner. The other thing I've done recently is made my first batch of sourdough bread. I did a sourdough bread course 3 or so weeks ago over at Redbeard Cafe in Trentham, and I came away from that with a leaven or sourdough starter named Jeffrey or Godfrey or whatever other G name my husband thinks of on any given day. It takes about 3 weeks for the leaven to be ready, and today was the first time that I made a batch. I made 2 cob loaves using 2 bannetons that I found online. One is round and the other is kind of a roundish triangle, which I know makes absolutely no geometrical sense whatsoever. These cobs were a little bit doughy. I think this has more to do with the fact that the house was not a consistent temperature during the day because we're having some issues to do with heating at the moment. Possibly also to do with the mixture not being exactly the right proportions, but I think I got it pretty right, so hopefully a more consistent temperature next time will help. I also made a loaf of sourdough fruit bread using dried apricots and currants, as well as some cinnamon and nutmeg, but I made very sure, as my instructions told me to only put in the cinnamon after about an hour or so of the bread rising, because apparently the cinnamon will kill your yeast, so there's a tip to keep in mind. I haven't actually cut this one open yet, so I'm hoping that it tastes okay. Finally, my vegetable garden seems to be going all right, I suppose. I don't actually get to see it as often as I might like when I'm going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark. Nonetheless, it's quite clear that everything happens so much more slowly in winter. However, the broccoli seems to be growing, the snails don't seem to have found me just yet, and I seem to have yet more beetroot sprouting. It also looks like the rocket might be sprouting too, which would be exciting if it's the case, and if it's not the case, I'll have to shove some more rocket seeds in at some point. All right, on to the interview. My Auntie Rena is one of my favourite people to talk to. She and her husband ran a wheat and sheep farm for years. Some people would say they also raised limestone, but that wasn't deliberate. And in this interview, Auntie Rena talks about what it's like to cook for the shearers for 3 weeks every year. Also, there's poetry. Hello, Auntie Rena. How are you?
I'm very well, Alex. It's lovely to talk to you.
And with you. Now, you've been cooking and doing amazing things in the kitchen for a long time, so there are lots of things that I could ask you about. But I wanted to talk to you today about something that probably most people in Australia don't really get to experience these days, and that's cooking for shearers.
Oh, okay.
First, can you set the scene for us? How many shearers would you have to be looking after when that happened?
Okay, in our instance, we used to have two shearers,
yep,
a shed hand, a wool classer, and my husband, who used to run around and be the dog's body and, yes, do whatever was needed to do.
How long would everyone be there doing their thing?
Probably up to 3 weeks.
Yep.
3 weeks, Monday to Friday, for, yeah, yep, once a year.
And yeah, what were you expected to provide?
Morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea. They were local shearers, so they started work at 7,
yep,
and finished at 5.
Okay, and did you mostly cook by yourself or did you get other people to help you out?
Only the local grocery shop or baker if I was running out of ideas or was desperate.
Providing food for several, presumably very hungry men, 5 days a week for 3 meals.
Absolutely, yes.
That sounds pretty epic.
It was a big job. There's lots of people that would have to do a lot more than that and, yep, bigger properties. But to me it was a challenge to start with, yes. But we get through it. And our lovely men can always have a lot of laughs. And,
yep,
did tell me that they knew exactly what they still tease me when they see me down the street. They always say, we knew what we were getting on Monday and we knew what we were getting on Tuesday. They always knew there was a routine, which was a load of rubbish, but still tease me dramatically about it all. Yes.
Having a routine sounds like a very good idea, actually.
Alex, you know me very well. I am a routine person.
So even if you didn't have a routine, what sorts of things would you cook?
Okay, well, morning tea would definitely have been assorted sandwiches, probably scones, either plain scones or sultana scones, sometimes savoury scones.
Yep.
Slices, a cake of some sort, just a mixture, probably one or two sweet things and then sandwiches probably.
Right. Mm.
An assortment of sandwiches.
Mm. Yep. And they'd get the same sorts of things for lunch and for afternoon tea and...
No, afternoon tea would have been similar.
Right.
And lunch was a two-course hot meal. Oh, yeah, really good.
Two-course hot meal?
Yes. What you do on a farm is you get up early and you get the kids off to school. In our case, they had to get the bus at 7:45.
Yep.
So get their lunch, get them sorted out, get them on the bus, race home, get home at 8:00, then get morning tea ready, race that out to the shearing shed to be there by 9:30, race home, start getting lunch ready. Didn't have slow cookers in those days. And then boot them out the door. I think they left about 12:30, I think. So lunch was very rapid.
Yep.
And they... maybe they had an hour for lunch, so by the time they'd left the shearing shed, got home, eaten their lunch, got back to the shearing shed, yeah, that would have taken the hour. Clean up all that, get ready for afternoon tea, then race down and pick the kids up again off the bus and then start cooking our tea. Yes.
That's a full-time job.
It was a full-time job, yes, yes.
So if I had to do something like that, I can imagine cooking for weeks beforehand and putting things in the freezer, but that's probably not how it worked for you.
I can't really remember, but I would think that perhaps some of that did happen. But when
good.
In those days, we're talking about, hadn't really considered how many years ago, probably 30 years, several years ago.
Sure.
It was fairly basic food, so you would have cooked a roast, meatballs. They're not difficult meals, shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you can do in a couple of hours, and often the shepherd's pie would have been made from leftover lamb roast anyway, sort of thing, the good old-fashioned. So you probably didn't use the freezer that much.
Yeah. Now,
as far as I can remember, we might have had a few frozen vegetables. but mostly fresh if I had time to go shopping.
So you say, you know, straightforward and old-fashioned, and I think those sorts of things still take a lot of organisation and a lot of preparation.
I think you would have got used to doing that sort of, especially farm people. They, sure. We used to go by the old church books, the CWA books, the kindergarten books, and they are all fairly basic country food, which I must admit I still do enjoy. Raised chops.
Yep.
Casseroles.
There's a reason they're classics.
Yeah, absolutely. And they will never date. And, you know, working country men always want their meat and three veg.
They just need filling up.
They do. And that's what they had, yes. And good old stodgy steam puddings and jam roly polies and jelly and fruit in the summer.
Fantastic. I've heard a rumour that there's a poem.
Oh, did you?
Was there a poem? You don't have to read it if you don't want to. I just want to know how it got written.
Yes, I wrote a poem, and then unexpectedly the shearers wrote me one back.
Did you write a poem telling them that they ate too much?
No, it wasn't about that. I've got it right here if you do want to hear it.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, you just have to let me. My boys. It's called My Boys. They barge into my kitchen, boots kicked off at the door, and they sprawl across the table. I can't stand it anymore. They analyse their lunches and mark it out of 10. Then they scrutinise their dinner and groan, oh, not this again. You gave us this last Wednesday. The menu's getting boring. If you give us something different, it'll make a difference to your scoring. But I've really grown to love them, young Barnsley, Jock and Dave. And perhaps with perseverance, they'll learn how to behave. And so it seems another year has very quickly passeth. So hurry up, get out of here before I kick your whatever I was going to say.
That's magnificent.
And then the boys wrote me another one, and it was called Alrina. Her manners soft and gentle, an inspiration to us all. The mince she squeezes gently and moulds it into balls. And like a dove would gently fly above the deep blue sea, Alrina slaves at shearing time with carrots, spuds and peas. Sometimes she ponders on the role she has as wife and mum, because life has been unbearable with her husband and his son. But even as the years roll on, you'll often hear her say, the very thing she lives for is to feed us mob each day. So we used to have an awful lot of fun at shearing time.
That's beautiful.
A lot of laughs.
That is just fantastic, and they clearly really appreciated you.
Yes, I think they did, yes. And then you bump into them up the street now and you still have lovely memories. Yeah.
That's hard absolutely work. Wonderful.
Good, thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing those memories.
Oh, my pleasure, and I'm sure it still goes on in many farms around the country.
That's my Auntie Rena. She doesn't have any form of social media, so if you've got any comments for her, feel free to send them through me. You can email me, actsofkitchen@gmail.com. That's acts as in A-C-T-S. And my blog is actsofkitchen.com. Feel free to come by and leave a comment. Next fortnight, we'll be finding out about the weird and wonderful world of the Thermomix.